Welcome back, y'all, to PRQ Homesteading Expanded, live here on BBS Radio, April 4th, 2026, and the title of this week's show is Gratitude Through Homestead Legal Storms. And for those of you just tuning in, I just wanted to give another update that Shane and I will be doing every other week throughout the spring and summer, because we need our playtime. And that being said, I am Robin, and here with me is the dynamic Shane. Shane, you want to say hello?
Love everybody. I love everybody. I hope everybody's having a great day, a great weekend with family. I know that I'm enjoying this time here with BBS Radio and you, Robin, and all the other beautiful beings of light out there.
Beautiful. And today, Shane and I, we're going to be talking about something that has become our anchor when the storms hit the hardest: gratitude, and how it helps us walk heart-centered into even the toughest challenges on this homesteading journey. So we all know we've faced some deep waters through our homesteading experiences. Property taxes have been a challenge for some of us. Foreclosure papers updated while preparing for our defense, which I'm going to share with you guys in regard to my personal situation. And just to hold on to our land, this is what we go through when it comes to defending. And so on top of that, we keep hitting some of these brick walls. The maritime legal system simply just does not recognize allodial title, no matter how much heart and sweat we pour into this journey of becoming free with our homestead patents. These can be heavy moments filled with court dates, uncertainty, and yes, with some of us on the journey, fear that everything we built could possibly slip away. But we don't get into that timeline. And when you start feeling that way, just crash the shit out of them. And in the middle of it all, one thing for sure, we made a choice to stay heart-centered and lean into gratitude instead of letting bitterness take root. Gratitude didn't magically erase the tax burdens, nor did it stop the foreclosure threats or make the legal system honor allodial title. What it did do that's even more powerful, it kept our hearts open and soft while we walked straight into those battles. It turned raw fear into quiet strength and reminded us of why we chose this journey in the first place. I am here to remind you all that it is important to express our appreciation for what has been, what will be, and most importantly, who we truly are. It is a time of acknowledgement of our beautiful universe and how thankful we are for the opportunities of insight and understanding of this experience here on planet Earth. And today, Shane and I want to explore how staying heart-centered and practicing gratitude can carry us through the hardest homesteading challenges, the financial storms, the legal defense, and the moments when everything feels like it's on the line. Here on the Homesteading Show, we are grateful to be able to share our experiences with all of you, and vice versa. So if you're feeling like you want to give us a call today, give us a call. And on that note, Shane, can you share the call-in numbers?
I can actually memorize them this time. Thank you, BBS Radio. First, I want to say thank you, Robin, for all you do. Thank you for sharing your experiences here on this show for everyone. Thank you for putting yourself in the driver's seat of dealing with this so that everyone can learn. And thank you for being brave enough to do it. And I'm very grateful for you. So,
Thank
with all
you.
the callers, we would love to hear your voice, your harmonics. We would love for you to call in today. The lines are open at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. If you're out of country, call us out of country. 323-744-4831. That is 323-744-4831. And you can email us at prqhomestead13@gmail.com with any questions or concerns. You just want to say, hey, feel free to subscribe to our show. We love subscriptions. We love you. We love giving back to you. And we put the energetics out to you and we receive them back. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Robin. Would you like to talk about our sponsors, Robin?
I sure will. Thank you so much, Shane. You're such a beautiful soul. Love you. So
Love you.
before we dive into the content of the show, and we got some good stuff here for you today, I'm going to share my personal experience and update everybody on where I'm at on my journey with this legal system. So I want to thank our sponsor, Nano Ogis, a brand made for people who trust themselves more than the system. If you're the kind of person who reads labels, ask questions and takes ownership of your health journey, this is your match. Nano Ogis uses advanced nano delivery to make sure every spray counts. Clean ingredients, real absorption, no middleman, no nonsense. Sovereign health starts with self-trust, as everything else does. So what you can do is you can find them at nanoogis.net and use our promo code PRQHOME15 for 15% off. And that's not just off your first order, that's on all orders. They also have a scientific learn tab where you can find out the information, the scientific information. I said that backwards. And there are live testimonials also there. And just an update on my MPC, I use this product all the time. It really helps with inflammation. And so I've been hitting the cardio really hard, like every single day. And I'm definitely feeling the workouts when I wake up in the morning. So the first thing I do is I get my bottle of the Nano Ogis and I get my five sprays, and bam, we're ready for the day. So I just got my next order that just came the other day. So I am all stocked up. So get your order, you guys. All right. Okay, and so before moving on, a small disclaimer, dear friends, before we dive deeper into today's conversation, we want to share this from our hearts. The narratives, experiences, and thoughts that we share on PRQ Homesteading Expanded come from our own personal journeys. Ain't that right, Shane?
The fact, Jack.
The joys, the struggles, the lessons, and the gratitude we've found along the way.
I
This
love
show
that
is,
word, gratitude.
I know, don't you? I've been very, very thankful this week, and I'm focused.
How many times have you gone into court and said, "I'm so grateful to be here, Judge. Thank you for your presence."
Actually, it's getting kind of fun. I'm
There
trying.
you go.
I
That's the
know.
whole point.
I'm trying to look at it as a game, and it's working out pretty good. So this show is offered purely for inspiration, education, and heartfelt connection, because that's what we do best here. So please know that nothing discussed here is intended as legal, financial, tax, or professional advice. We are not attorneys and don't want to be. Accountants totally don't want to be an accountant or licensed advisors. Topics like property taxes, foreclosure, bankruptcy, allodial title, or any homestead legal matters are shared from our lived experiences, excuse me, only. So we gently encourage you to listen with an open heart, take what resonates, and always consult qualified professionals before making any decisions about your land, finances, or future. So we may walk this homesteading path with wisdom, compassion, and gratitude in our hearts. Yes, sirree. So
Gratitude. There's that word again.
I know you're going to hear it throughout the whole show because I've just been feeling a lot of that lately. And it's really important that no matter what's going on, we always have to be grateful for what is around us, what we have. Look at all the good things, all the synchronicities that come our way. They may be small, some may be big, but They're there. They're right in front of you. You just have to be aware of it. So I'm going to start the show off with some clips from a YouTube channel. It's called Trial World. All right. And I do believe they film cases of sovereign people going in and into these maritime courts. And it's really interesting how the judge reacts. So I just felt very, very driven to share this with everyone. And this is actually a case from Michigan. And go ahead and key that up, please, BBS, clip number one.
Mr. Tucker, you heard what he argued?
I did, Your Honor.
Would you like to?
As the court has already indicated, the court is in fact a court of law. The court also has the powers under MCL 600.8302 to review and decide equitable issues within the context of the summary proceeding hearing. The base jurisdiction for the legal jurisdiction is MCL 657.04, which flatly states that this court has subject matter jurisdiction over summary proceeding actions, which you obviously know. You've been doing it all day long for a lot of years. So the notion that it is an equitable court is incorrect. This is a court of both law and equity, and the Michigan courts have been combined in law and equity since the Constitution of 1850 of the state of Michigan. So we're getting some very old ideological discussions that, for the most part, don't have any relevance to the current proceeding.
Okay, so when he said ideological, he's actually making fun of a allodial title defense, okay? And so that's how they view it. That's how they address it. And as you can hear, semantics are definitely playing in between the conversation of the lawyer from that represents Choice One Bank and the judge. So I love listening to this because it's going to help me when I go in to defend myself. Learning all these codes, the MCL 657.04, because they use the ones that help them, but there are other ones there too in regard that can help the other people that are defending themselves. So you've got to look at both sides of them and what's out there. So we're going to go into the next clip and go ahead, BBS.
And one of those rights is a right to a jury trial. And they have failed to exercise that right by not requesting a jury trial in a timely manner.
Okay, so the defendants or the plaintiffs that they did not request a jury trial in time, okay, is what he's saying. But you really have to go in and you have to look at the time. What does that really mean? And so when you're doing your paperwork, and I've learned to do a I can't remember the name of it, but I have it here that I'm going to share with you guys later. But you got to make sure that when you're doing your documents and what is happening from the time, say from the foreclosure up through the redemption period, up to the end of the redemption period, and then they come in and do the foreclosure. Make sure that you are documenting everything because this is really important. It may help you in a situation like this, okay? So in Michigan, there's two types of foreclosures. There is, I do believe we do the public auction one. And I don't know. I think they do the jury by trial. I'm not sure about that one. So we'll go into the next one. And this is the judge. This is his response to allodial title. You guys got to hear this. It's really kind of funny.
Holds the title to the
Ooh.
property, the federal land patent, the highest form of title.
Well, they missed that at my law school. They just concentrated on the state of the law in the state of Michigan at that time. So the judgment's going to be rendered in favor of the plaintiff in this matter. Mr. Tucker, if you'd get that order to me, I'll sign it.
Thank you, Aaron. I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, I didn't want any names to be revealed on this, so big apology out there. Hopefully that was not heard. Anyway, I just wanted to put across what the judge, how he perceives allodial titles. So they basically, it means nothing here in the courts of law at this point in time. So I want to kind of talk about what the plaintiffs could have done instead of using the allodial title angle, which is what I was going to do until I had a person come to me and tell me to go another route, and I'm glad I took that route because I might have been in that same situation. So in the state of Michigan, the plaintiff could not realistically avoid eviction by asserting allodial title. Courts treat the allodial title, or if you want to call it a land patent, filings as legally ineffective to defeat a foreclosure or eviction. Legal options would have been to cure, default, negotiate a loan modification or a reinstatement, or raise a genuine or statutory contractual defense to foreclosure. Allodial title argument is not recognized as a defense in modern US law. Okay. Why allodial title would not work in this particular scenario? All right. So I went into opencase.com, and it is another chat. It's like another AI, but it's more on the legal side. And I kind of used it a little bit to because my and before I move on into getting into this, there was a situation that happened to me this week, and I will share that with you guys because the resource that was with me helping me is no longer available for me. So I'm basically on my own. So this is why I don't have a lawyer. So to me, the AI, the ChatGPT, the one opencase.com is very helpful in helping me to navigate and learn this system. Do I want to use it all the time? No, but in my case right now, what had happened, I could have panicked and had a freak out dance of some sort, but instead I stayed calm. I took some deep breaths and very grateful that I'm still where I'm at in this process. And I had a case, I had my court hearing that came up Friday. And so this is what I got from the opencase.com. And I'm going to share this in regard to the modern courts of today. They do not recognize allodial title as a defense against foreclosure or eviction. Federal and state authorities in this case reject the idea that a homeowner can defeat lien enforcement by declaring the property allodial title or by filing a land patent. Case law, there's a couple of case laws. And I'm sure there's some out there in regard to allodial title, just haven't found them yet. But the case law, United States versus Milajust, 2007, this was December 3rd of 2007. The court stated that the allodial ownership is a concept not recognized in the modern United States law presently. Now, Shane, we are under common law as of yet, or we are not.
Are we under common law?
Yeah, well, what where are we at? Are we still maritime law, or has that changed?
No, it's that has changed. Now, I can't say that people aren't still operating under that system. I can't say that they're not they listened, but however, there has been executive orders that have that has been signed that state otherwise. And it's
Okay.
up to people. If people do not listen, then it is considered an act of treason here in this reality.
So I wonder if that could be a defense in the court. Probably not. They probably would treat it the same way they do allodial title, just not acknowledge it. So anyway, there are two other case laws. The Washington Attorney General append that a recorded declaration of allodial freehold is ineffective to exempt property from taxes. All right. So we all remember Kimberly that came on the show a few weeks back. That was her situation. I know that she is still going through some battles with the local municipal people that are still not cooperating, but she's doing well. She's still in her home, and I just talked to her this morning, so all is good right now. The other case law is State of Wisconsin versus Glick, 1986. It goes to say that allodial title does not erase, this is what they're saying, mortgages, taxes, or foreclosure rights. All right. And before I dove into mine, I didn't really know about this stuff, and I just jumped into it thinking that, if I stay in the high frequency, none of this stuff is going to touch me. And maybe I wasn't staying up there. Is that possible?
No, you're staying at a high frequency. You're just creating it.
Yeah, but not by choice.
Oh, yeah, by choice. Oh, but you just need to become aware of how you're doing it.
Yeah, that is true. That
I'm
is
just
true.
telling you, Robin. I'm
All
gonna be real with
right. Okay, Daddy.
you. Hey.
Okay, so the bottom line is not an argument or substitute for real foreclosure defense, all right? It's not the way to go. Now, this is the way I would have went had I not had my friend introduce me to this other friend who was a forensic inspector who said, "Do this and do it now." And the day that I did it, I was sick. I had to go to work. I really didn't have any time to do it. And I'm like, "How am I going to do this?" But I did it. When it comes to knowing that if you don't get something done, this could be the other consequences, you find a way to do it. And I did it. So if the plaintiff was facing eviction after foreclosure, the viable defense would typically be the following. And I'm going to share this with you. And I know for a fact because I have researched this. So these are some of the things that they could have went in a different angle versus Allodio Title. Improper notice or defective foreclosure or procedure. All right. And that means that takes you right back to the chain of title, folks. Chain of title. And I'm going to share with you what I did this past week. And then there's the standing defects. No proof of ownership. Again, chain of title. They claim to own the loan, but they can't prove it. And in my case, we have Mishta, okay, who supposedly, yeah, this is really crazy when I share what I found out. So missing assignments or broken chain of title. So if you did a land patent, Shane, this is my perception of it. If we actually did a home, what is it, Allodio Title, and we're in court and they tell we request that they show proof of ownership. And they do that. We request that the chain of title has to be submitted. And you know that they're going to find a break in it because we have the Allodio Title. So wouldn't that be a win situation there?
I've already explained to you that you've won this thing.
Oh
You just keep creating a
my
reality where you want
gosh.
to play it.
You
Hey,
unless you're here.
I'm gonna pound it into your head in this show. Everyone's listening is gonna hear it. I'm telling you're creating this reality.
All right. Well, you know what? I truly believe that.
You've already won it. You've already like they keep delaying you. They keep putting your stuff off. You've submitted the documents that they requested. You submitted a document that the county recognizes that you have a homestead.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But we still have the counsel that is representing the creditor. All right. And
Why
they're
aren't
not.
they show? Why aren't they showing up?
We'll get to that here in a minute. Okay, so
If
the
you want to
broken.
wrestle, wrestle a bear. Why don't you create a bear that comes into your backyard every day that you wrestle, that you can
Settle
wrestle? If
down,
you want
cowboy.
to wrestle, create a bear.
Right, so the broken chain of title, gaps in the transfer between lenders. All right, so what I did this week is that I sent out a QWI. It's a no, a RWI, request of written information from my original mortgage company, which was Mortgage One, and then I sent it to the servicing loan care, the servicing center loan care. And so I requested the loan pro or hold on, let me find it right here. All right, so my request was this. Request for information and demand for documentation, all right. The correspondent constitutes a request for information 12 CFR 124.36 under the Real Estate Settlement Procedure Act, RESPA. I am requesting information regarding the above referenced mortgage loan and property, specifically in relation to the chain or to the claim that Michigan State Housing Development Authority has ownership or interest in the loan and or property. Okay. So I sent this to Mortgage One, and it goes into more detail. I won't get into all that on the radio. And this is their response. It's not even a paragraph, you guys. We are in receipt of your QWR, which is Quest for Written, I can't remember what that stands for, and have reviewed. However, we are not the current servicer of your loan. Please reach out to your current servicer for assistance. Perfect. Thank you so much for that admittance right there. So now I send them another notice because they did not give me all the information that I requested. So the other notice that I sent was notice of deficient response and failure to comply with the QWR. So this is what it says. I am in receipt of your correspondent dated March 30th, 2026, in response to my qualified written request. So that's what that stands for, qualified written request. Your response states that you are not the current servicer of the loan and directs me to contact the current servicer. However, your response fails to address the substance of my request. My original request specifically sought information related to the source of funding at origination, the identity of the true lender, the assignment history and chain of title, agreements related to the transfer or sale of the loan. As the originating lender, you are in possession of records directly related to the origination and funding of this loan. Your failure to provide any of the requested information constitutes an incomplete and deficient response. So my demand for compliance, you are hereby given 10 business days to provide all documents related to the origination and funding of the loan, identify the entity that supplied the funds at closing, provide any agreements or records related to the transfer of the loan. Okay. So that was mailed out yesterday. And so they have 10 days. So that you guys see what I'm doing? I'm getting a paper trail. And it's called building a record of notices. All right. Because you send a lot of these babies out. So I actually have a filing system where I put all these papers in it, but it's not working out so well. So I got to figure out a different system. And so I came across this building a record of notices. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. So that's the paper trail. So when you go into court, you have all your documentation. As I said a couple shows ago, make sure you have your documentation, exhibit A, B, C, D. And here you go, Your Honor, please don't laugh at this. And I'm sure he won't because it's right there in his face. And I will say, I did, when I was in the courtroom this week, I didn't have to go because the good news is that they pulled the objection because the documents that I submitted, my schedules that I corrected, I actually called the trustee because I had sent a check-in and I sent it like almost a month ago and they haven't received it yet. And I did it register mail. Don't ever do that because they need a signature and that's why they didn't get it right away. So anyway, she told me that I didn't need to be in court because they have pulled the objection. And so I said, okay, that's a good thing. But then I thought to myself, what if the attorneys show up? Okay. Well, and then I thought, well, this could be a good learning experience. I might as well just go and see how it works. And so that's where I left it. And it looks like we have a caller on the line. So we're going to bring Kenna on and then we'll jump back into this. Kenna.
Hi, Robin. Hi,
Hello.
Shane. I just wanted to share an experience that might be helpful to other people.
I
Over
love
the
it.
last month or so, we had a major sewer line failure in our home, and I found out through the process that our homeowner's insurance, because we still have a mortgage, that our homeowner's insurance does not cover repairing that cost. And so, what happened was we went through, the mind, and we were like, oh my gosh, okay. So we got a contractor out, and The first quote was $45,000 to rip up all the flooring in our home and redo the plumbing.
Wow.
And we thought, we might have to just short sale our home. That's what we might just end up having to do.
And Jenna, I was so upset.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll let you finish. I'm sorry.
Well, so we went through the whole mind process and we were like, oh, we might have to move. And I just kept feeling like, nope, this is going to work out. I'm going to trust in the universe that this is going to work out. And the following week after we went through all of that, I called one of the local people and I told them what's going on. And I told the lady at the plumber the amount the other plumber said, which was $45,000. And she was just like, you got to be kidding me. We can do it for way less than that. We're going to do it different, but it's going to work out. And they were able to do it for substantially less. And we did not have to move. And I actually had a car paid off, and the car paying off our car covered the cost of it. And it was so wonderful. I wanted to share that experience because I think that's also like a value to homesteading is the homeowner's insurance thing's kind of a big scam. But the last part of my story that I hope it's okay to share is
absolutely.
I actually emailed Robin because I was having a really low day and I was feeling so alone because in this process, you do become a little bit more alone sometimes, you know, family and stuff. And I had the most amazing experience because I've let go of a lot of my attachments to names and embracing spirit being in different bodies of people. And we're all here playing together. And I was listening to Zosha's radio show, Unstoppable Love. And on her show a couple of weeks ago, she said that her birth name was Suzanne. And I was just mind blown because my birth mom's name was Suzanne. And my birth dad's name is actually Shane. And I was just blown away because in that moment, I felt so alone. And I was like, oh my gosh, spirit is sending me a message that the people, the spirit inside is still here. The people that you love are still here. We're just doing our, you know, we're just playing how we want to play. And then it was after that radio show that weekend that we found the next plumber. And it was just so amazing. And I just wanted to share that with you guys.
It's beautiful.
I think that's absolutely amazing. And the fact that you can see those synchronicities and the dots connecting is absolutely beautiful. And that's why I continue to say, and I will continue to say this, everyone connecting here from spirit and from the spirit mindset, not the human mindset, but from the spirit mindset with the intentions of understanding who and what we are is the key. The sooner we can all learn to come together for that reason, the sooner everything will make sense a lot faster. And what I was going to say to you, Kenna, is I'm an insurance specialist when it comes to that kind of stuff. Did you say they do not, and that's what I do for in this reality. Did your insurance company cover any of that, that loss?
No, they didn't because we didn't have a backup. So they said, unless you have a backup, we can't cover anything.
You didn't have a backup? Like, so nothing came out, it just collapsed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, sometimes they don't always tell the truth. But if you want me to, I can look at you, read your policy, and you can send that to Robin and she'll send
Yeah. Make sure you check your documents because you'll find things in there. I promise you.
And another thing, you can always reach out to any of us when you're in those moments of loneliness. I don't know if you heard, listen to Sunshine's Whiplash show today. We talked a lot about what you just talked about today in her show. And it was absolutely amazing and how this journey can be sometimes can be a lonely journey, especially when you have family that's doesn't experience the things that you experience or can see things that you can see. But what I will say is be in a moment of gratitude, the fact that you can actually see it and experience it and you can connect the dots, because you are in a good place and you're very special.
Yes, you are. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for, I love that spirit's here to take care of each other. And absolutely. I just love that. And I'm so glad you guys are here.
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to have to start listening to Sunshine's show. I get so busy. I just don't have time. Because this morning I just started preparing this show, because I got home last night.
Robin, you just don't like me cheating on you with other shows. Let's be honest. I'm putting it all out there today. I'm putting it all out.
Darling, I know you is. Darling, I know you is a player. Come on now.
I'm not so much. I'm not a player. I'm just a. I like to have fun. I like to experience with everyone here and connect the dots and connect energetically. And
I know. I'm just kidding you.
I know you're kidding. I know you're kidding.
Don't get all sensitive now. Geez, you men. I know, right? Okay.
Hey. Okay. You men. Only ones I've talked to are me and Rob. if there's other men out there, please.
Yeah, there you go. So the broken chain of title, always, there's another thing, you guys, this is really, really a good point here. Most mortgages are securitized, okay? So, if you have a securitized loan in regard to a mortgage, there are going to be gaps in your chain of title, and it's going to have missing or backdated assignments, and there's going to be gaps in transfers between the lenders. So that is a plus. So just as a defense, if you are going through a foreclosure or property tax issues and stuff like that. So then the other thing is right now, the MSHDA is claiming to be the party, the owner of this property, okay? But it's really funny. When I went in to look at my tax documents that's another thing too. Go to the IRS and go into your wage and income transcripts, okay? And I went all the way back to the year 2022. This is where you'll be able to find out if there is a 1099-C or a 1099-A. And I'll explain that to you here in a minute, but I just want to get through the rest of this. Okay, so not the real party, and I know for a fact that they are not the original people that did the loan with me. Actually, I'm not even sure there was a loan, because I know something about Mortgage One that they don't know that I know about them. So this is why I'm doing the paper trail, because I'm waiting for them to put it on document, and as soon as they do, I got them. Okay, so no possession of the note. We all know that the mortgages get sold off. All right. And who owns the note? We don't know that. You have to do your homework and definitely follow the chain of title. Okay. Defective endorsements, missing endorsements, improperly attached allonges, and then timing issues. Okay. They didn't have standing at the time the case was filed. Okay. They can't fix standing later. It must exist when they start. All right. So make sure that, when you're doing this process, that you're documenting the standing, the time issues. All right, so chain of title issues, loan modification or reinstatement rights, redemption rights where they're applicable. And then in my case, I have a bankruptcy stay issue, okay? So I filed bankruptcy 3 days before the redemption. Now they're trying to get the automatic stay lifted, and I am going to blow them out of the courtroom on May the 6th, because there's no way that they're going to be able to stand on that, just in the little bit of information that I am gathering right now. So I'm pretty excited about that. See how fun this is getting? Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. Look, when you go in there, what I want, if you don't mind doing this, walk up to all of them and say, thank you so much. I am so grateful for you for allowing me to experience this with you. You have shown me who and what I am, and I choose to collapse this timeline today, right here, right now.
Bam!
Do it to every one of them. And that's all you say. That's all you got to say. And watch what happens.
I got to.
Watch what happens. Now, if you listen to me, you do it.
Actually,
we will have one hell of a show.
Yeah, I almost did that when I was in the courtroom yesterday because I was the only one there besides the court officials. And I'm like, okay, this is really strange. And I sat in the back room, and then when they called my name and the judge says, is there anybody here to appear? And I almost went, why, yes, it's me, Robin, back here. I am the debtor. But I said, no, I better just be quiet and let's just listen here for now.
Bring your hula hoop, would you?
Oh, yeah. You got that video, huh? Okay. I didn't know if you saw it or not. So pretty good exercise, don't you think?
Sure.
All right. Sure all is. Right. All right. So what I did is I went and I got all my transcripts from Loan Care. When I requested information from them, they just sent me the tax transcripts, which is not what I need. Okay. So I want to start here. Okay. So I went to the 2022 and got the Form 1098 mortgage and interest. The mortgage balance, it gave me that, the address confirmed. And then I went to the year 2023. And guess who's on each one of these reportings? MSHTA. How is it that MSHTA is on the 2022 IRS report? Because Mortgage One was actually the lender. And they're not anywhere to be found in my IRS transcripts. How interesting is that? Anyway, we will find out because that's the fun part, doing the research. Okay, so what it means for my case, if there is no 1099A, that means the IRS, there was no IRS reported foreclosure event. Okay, if the property was taken, foreclosed, or transferred, it would openly be reported on your IRS transcript as a 1099A. And I do not have that on mine. Okay. The next one. So there is no IRS record of any acquisition or foreclosure event tied to this property. All right. As of right now. And then I went in to look for the 1099C, which means debt not canceled. All right. No one has reported a charge off or a discharge or cancellation of debt. So they are still treating it as a active debt. So was there a foreclosure or was there not? I mean, if there was, how come it's not at the IRS? Pretty interesting, right? So every year, MSHTA is one of the reporting on the mortgage interest of my account. This tells me that the IRS recognizes MSHTA as the reporting lender. Interesting. Again, where is Mortgage One? Mortgage One, there's no Mortgage One and there's no Loan Care on the IRS transcripts, only MSHTA. Now, I'm not sure what that's going to mean in the court, but I can't wait to find out. So the question is who is the creditor? The IRS says it's MSHTA. So if MSHTA is reporting creditor to the IRS, we need to clarify the authority of any other party claiming enforcement rights, such as Loan Care. They are supposedly the ones that are coming at me for the foreclosure, but MSHTA is the creditor according to the IRS. All right. And they're also the new owners that were put on the sheriff's deed of sale 10 days prior to the auction. A lot of suspicious stuff going on here. Okay. So where is the foreclosure reporting? There is no IRS reporting of acquisition or abandonment. And that would be Form 1099A, which raises questions as to whether any lawful transfer or foreclosure event has occurred. All right. Do you see where I'm going, Shane? You get this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the debt status, since there is no 1099C, they are still claiming debt exists. So proof of ownership, proof of balance, proof of enforcement rights. So this is very important. This does not automatically mean that I win, okay? But it does mean their story must be consistent with the IRS reporting. And right now, there are gaps to challenge. And so this is what I found out. Now, the strong move right now on my end is what I did was to review the wage and income tax transcripts, which is what I did. And so this combined with my request for written information, now I can demand who owns the loan, who reports to the IRS, and why no foreclosure reporting exists at the IRS. All right. So that's the reason why we're capturing all these documents. Now, that's why I'm doing this paper trail. So when I get a response back to Mortgage One, I hope they're going to say what I want them to say, because I know what they're going to say, but they don't know that I know what they're going to say. And I can't say it on the radio. So, okay. Anything, you got anything that you want to pop in and say anything there, Shane? No?
Well, I'm trying to think of something creative here to say. No, if you keep, you can keep going at this
Okay.
moment. That'd be lovely.
Okay. So before I went into court, I made sure that I filed an objection to the legal counsel that is trying to put a lift the stay on my bankruptcy. Now, I am headed to confirmation, and what confirmation means is that the judge moves me along. All right. So I want everybody to know this. Okay. When I get to that point, I will be officially in the bankruptcy program, which sucks because that means I'm in the system and I'm not really happy about that. But it is a strategy plan and I can't share that right now.
It's
But
all
I,
going away, Robin.
huh?
It's all going away.
I know. But in the meantime, I get to play the game. So just let me play. All right. So the petitioner's response to the creditor's objection to confirmation. And I submitted all the plan feasibility, the good faith and compliance, which is what I've done, request for relief of the stay to the judge, interest in the property, dispute as a validity of foreclosure. So I've got all the bullet points. I submitted it to the bankruptcy court. I copied in the counsel and the bankruptcy trustee. So they all have copies of it. All right. So this again is all about the documentation. All right. Which is going to help me down the road if I get that far down. And if I don't, that's okay too. Then it is what it is. All right. All right. So I want to give a little scenario of what I was prepared to do if I had to go into court and defend myself yesterday. And what I put a little scenario together, and this would be from the creditors talking to the judge. Your Honor, the debtor's response is vague. There is no legal interest remaining in the foreclosure sale which occurred. Redemption expired and the property is no longer part of the estate. Okay. Now, if they would have said that in there, if this scenario would have really happened, then that goes to prove the IRS documents that right there would have been a write out misinformation. Okay. Had they said that, according to the IRS transcripts. Now, Your Honor, this is me. Respectfully, Your Honor, as I stated in my response, I dispute that I have no legal or equitable interest in the property. I filed bankruptcy prior to the expiration of the redemption period, and I believe my rights were still active at the time. I respectfully request that the stay remain in place. All right. So this is round two. If they come back, if the lawyers come back, they go, the debtor claims irregularities, but provides no evidence. That is not a basis to deny the relief. Okay, so here's my comeback. Your Honor, respectfully, once again, I understand. I am in the process of investigating those issues, and I am requesting the opportunity to properly present them rather than address them completely today. Because you don't want to get into this stuff at, this was just a objection meeting for the trustee, and it's not where we were gonna have the final battle. So you don't want to get into too much detail. Just state something like that, be quiet, and don't say anything else. Now, the attorneys could have came back and said, this is simply an attempt to delay. Again, semantics. The debtor had ample time during the redemption period, and as you guys heard in the audios earlier, that's exactly what the lawyer said from Choice One Bank in regard to their redemption period. So I come back I'm looking at the, okay, we got plenty of time. I come back and say, Your Honor, I am not attempting to delay. I filed prior to the expiration of the redemption period, and I am requesting a short period of time for the court to review the status of my rights at this time. Okay? So you just want to keep direct. You want to say exactly the legal interest, and that's it. Just talk about the points. So the judge may come back. Now, this is something he might say. What exactly is your legal interest today? And so my answer would be, Your Honor, my position is that at the time of filing, I still had an active right of redemption, which I did. My redemption was the 24th of November. I filed bankruptcy on the 21st of November, so I had 3 days. I am requesting clarification on how that right is treated under the automatic stay. Now, of course, I want to have my information in case they come back with something. So what this does, it keeps me tied to the timing, which is very strong in a court hearing when you're in this type of situation. So the creditor is going to come back and say, redemption expired automatically. There is nothing left to protect. My response would be, Your Honor, I understand their position. However, once again, I filed prior to the expiration, and I am requesting that the court review the status of those rights before granting relief from the stay. Okay? So you don't argue. This is how you redirect. So the judge is going to come at you, say he pushes hard. Why shouldn't I just lift the stay and let this proceed? Okay? Most important response of all, Your Honor, because there is a dispute regarding my interest in the property at the time of filing, and I am requesting, once again, the opportunity for that issue to be properly reviewed before any change to the stay. Okay, so this is a winning response in a courtroom. The judges like that. Okay, so what if he does? What if he doesn't? What if he's on the team of the counsel and he goes, well, I'm granting the relief. So this is where you get heart-centered. This is where you stay calm. And your response is, understood, Your Honor, for the record, and make sure you say for the record, I respectfully object. So therefore, you preserve everything. All right? So your final strategy, lock in. You are not proving foreclosure invalid and winning the whole case. You are showing legitimate dispute exists, asking for time to review, and keeping the stay in place. All right? All right, so that was a scenario. I just wanted to share that with everybody. And, you know, I'm on my own on this because my other source is not going to be with me right now for a while. And I do believe that I'm being pushed to do this on my own, and I'm okay with that. And I'm ready to walk the line and stay in peace and stay heart-centered. And when you go in front of the judge, you want to slow down. The less you say, the better. You stay neutral. You don't want to get emotional. The last thing you want to do is be emotional. All right. So the final truth is my direction, my objection is very clean when I'm defending myself. It's defensible and the delivery is dialed in. And that's what you want to do when you're representing yourself. Now, I'm no lawyer. I don't claim to be, but I am ready to defend myself when the time comes and I am prepared. And the more documentation and the more information that you have is going to be good for you. So that's what you want to do. All right. I'm seeing that we have a few minutes left. And so with that, this is a wrap for today on PRQ Homesteading Expanded here on BBS. Oh, wait, is Loa on? Aloha. Sorry. Come on in.
No, she's not on.
Oh, not I on. Thought I said, oh, okay. All right. That's a wrap for today on PRQ Homesteading Expanded here on BBS Radio. From the bottom of our hearts, Shane and I want to express our deepest gratitude, and we mean that, to all of you, our amazing listeners, for joining us and sharing this space. Your presence and your open hearts make this radio community so special. And we truly mean that. We love you all.
Thank you. I love it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you.